say, and I'll tell you straight in the eye. Hey!
DIY, 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 DIY.
Hello and welcome to Behind the Screen, your independent film show on KBOO Community Radio. I'm your host this morning, S.W. Conser, and today's show is all about do-it-yourself screenings, films and videos projected in all sorts of public spaces, none of which look too much like your typical theater setting. Today we'll be visiting the Waypost Cafe, where Asher Laverty presents his monthly Saturday morning cartoon show, and we'll be talking with Paul Herod, film director, cinephile, and curator of the Mother's Velvet Lounge film series. But first, let's take a trip down to the Watershed Industrial Arts Community Center to hear about their Tuesday barbecue and double feature nights.
This is Dead Letter, and we are sitting at Watershed today. Watershed's an industrial arts center in southeast Portland. We're a mile south of Powell, on the same street as the Aladdin, 5040 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue. And we started about 3 years ago, and from the very beginning, we've been doing a barbecue night. And sometimes it's a craft night, and sometimes it's a fire performer's night, and sometimes it's a movie night, and it really depends on the season of the year. In the summer, it tends to be more barbecues, and we put on a couple of movies, and we always demand that the movies come in pairs. So people suggest something, and the link could be an actor, the link could be a director, the link could be some sort of thematic approach, Hackers and Slackers, War Games 1 and War Games the Remake many years later. We push this idea that we're a duocracy. And in a duocracy, whoever really wants to do it is going to do it. So that means that there's been nights where there's a barbecue night, but nobody fired up the grill because, you know, nobody really felt like it and, you know, there wasn't enough interest. But there's other nights when it's completely grill, and the same thing happens with movies. Somebody shows up with movies, and we're like, oh my God, that's what we're going to watch. But there's other nights when nobody actually went and got any, and Netflix it is. So as the summer comes, it tends to be more obvious what barbecue night is. Instead of dissipated, it's very centered around the grill and hanging out. And a movie generally will start at about 8:30, go till about 10:30, and then if there's a bunch of fire performers and they don't want a movie anymore, no more movie. But if there's not, then we just throw on another one, go till about 12:30 and go home. We try to throw down about $40 in the budget of the whole building just to make sure there's some burgers and some cheese and some bread and some hot dogs and some tofu dogs. But we don't charge anything. And what that lets us do is it lets people bring their own alcohol under barbecue sort of BYOB public-private event where you weren't charging, all of their alcohol is fine. But the moment we go for an alcohol license, like on a weekend night, then no one can bring their outside alcohol and you have to ID them. We don't have to do that for movie night because it's simply a private, a public event, but it's private in that you're not charging anything. There have been many a times when people have shown up for barbecue night because some band was going to play, and they're like, won't they turn off those saws so we can hear the band? And the answer is no, not really. You know, we work at Watershed at all hours. We're a 24-hour art space. We don't do live work. And so when people are in their studios, we guarantee them that they get to just turn on those saws and do what they like and get to work, and then they stumble out of their studio covered in dust, and someone hopefully has cooked some food, and they stagger back into their studio and grind on their wood sculpture for another 4 hours. So that's happening simultaneous to this visitors-guests thing, and sometimes that makes for a blissful chaos. For those who don't know, Watershed is an industrial art space where Vocational Village used to be. It's 24,000 square feet, and it doesn't really feel like a former school, but it has that flavor of being used for all sorts of different industrial arts. So we want people who are like actually building something. And for a painter, we're too expensive, but for someone who actually needs power or water or light or air or the things that you need to do industrial arts, we're a godsend because we have amazing power and we basically cater to 500 to 1,000 square foot rooms, which are really hard to find in an industrial setting. Also, toolshedpdx.org is the nonprofit that we have started to do craft classes. So on the Toolshed homepage, it lists upcoming events that are related to art openings, craft demonstrations, upcoming classes, and movie night. And then on the Watershed PDX page, it generally just says, show up for barbecue night, 503-232-SHED, 7433. You can call the Shed phone, leave a message for space or classes. We're also very reachable. Dead Letter is myself because I do the Dead Letter project. Dead Letter at watershedpdx.com or Dead Letter at toolshedpdx.org.
You're listening to Behind the Screen, KBOO's monthly independent film show, and our theme today is DIY screenings. In a few minutes, we'll be visiting the Saturday morning cartoon show at the Waypost Cafe, but right now let's join our studio guest, who likes to share his knowledge and love of old films every month at a downtown bistro. Well, we're here with Paul Harrod, one of the directors at Bent Image Lab, and he is also the curator behind Mother's Velvet Lounge, a monthly screening in Portland. And Paul, this is not your typical cinematic experience. What can you tell us about Mother's Velvet Lounge?
Well, kind of the idea originally started when Lisa Schroeder, the owner and head chef, came up with the idea of spaghetti Western nights.
And this is at Mother's Bistro.
Yes. And they came to me saying, what we want to do is have a movie screening night, and we'd like you to curate spaghetti Westerns for us. And they would serve spaghetti and meatballs while you were watching it, but you could order other things off the menu. And there was a band that was fronted by a former cook there called Federale, which was in some ways a kind of Ennio Morricone tribute band. Although they didn't actually play specific pieces by Morricone, they were playing pieces that were in his style. And in fact, they got their name Federale from a film that was the very first feature film that Ennio Morricone ever scored.
This was even before Sergio Leone's films.
Oh, then. Way before that, yeah. So while we ate spaghetti, we would listen to Federale play music, and then I would share a few words about the history of the Italian Western. And we actually did this for about a year and a half. So I decided to shift over to showing film noir and showed what I thought were the best films in that particular idiom. Things like Out of the Past and Angel Face and Where the Sidewalk Ends and certainly Sunset Boulevard. I actually thought about showing M. The problem, one of the Italian Westerns that I had shown had subtitles. The situation in a bistro is that, you know, people are constantly turning away from the screen to eat or drink or whatever, and the sight lines might not be the greatest for subtitles. So I consider M to be the first real piece of film noir. But because it is subtitled, I opted to not show it. I try to just show films that are in English.
So the setting for the screenings is Mother's Bistro, and it's a social atmosphere. Lots of tables, there's food. And even though there's a high degree of film nerddom in the room, everybody is very casual and entertained and laughing and having a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very casual. It's not a screening in the traditional sense. Although Rob Sample, who is Lisa's partner, has set up an incredible projection system there, and We have a great sound system. It's still a bar, and you know, people are taking drink orders while you're watching the film and whatnot. And I'll usually come out in the very beginning, and I'll give a little bit of background, usually about the director, some of the actors, you know, ask people to take note of certain aspects of the film. And then afterwards, we just sort of have a free-form conversation about it. It's just really fun before and after, and some great stuff comes up. And I've had people show up, not sure who they are, and suddenly they will launch into this litany of obscure facts about the film we've just seen. And I'm just like, oh, geez, you know, here I am sort of presenting myself as the expert here, and this person knows way more about it than I do.
Well, actually, it's pretty impressive the amount of knowledge that you managed to come up with at these screenings. Legend has it that you have an encyclopedic knowledge of all things James Bond and classic Italian horror.
Hardly. At 52 years old, there is nothing even remotely encyclopedic about my memory. but I do have, I'm a film nerd from the get-go. I think I pretty much decided when I was 10 years old that I was going to be involved in film. And perhaps one of the side benefits, if you want to call it that, of not having a girlfriend in high school was that you saw a lot of films and you actually spent the time in the theater watching the film. And when I was a student at CalArts, for 2 years in a row, I was the head of the Student Council Film Series. And that really sort of got me on the kick of wanting to, you know, just share films with people. And ideally, I've seen it in the last 20 years. Although, you know, it has happened where I've shown some films that I hadn't seen since I was a kid. And I was just like, you know, watch it and phew, yeah, okay, it's still good.
Well, there seems to be an emphasis on 60s films. You recently did a series on Peter Sellers.
Yeah, actually, we're wrapping up the Peter Sellers series the first Wednesday in June, and we're going to be showing Being There. That was interesting how that happened. It was, of course, I'm fascinated by Italian cinema, and there's this great film that Peter Sellers did in the 60s called After the Fox, which was directed by Vittorio De Sica, but it had a screenplay by Neil Simon, and it's
an odd couple, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah. It was a really interesting film that De Sica did this screwball comedy in English, and I was just reminded of what a genius Peter Sellers was, and I decided after that to continue in that vein and show Peter Sellers films, The Mouse That Roared, and the month before last we showed Doctor Strangelove, and not entirely sure where I'll go from there. I think I'm going to try to get a conversation going with the audience and sort of get a sense of where they would like to go.
So if any film aficionados out there want to have a say in the next series of screenings, show up on the 2nd of June, Wednesday, around 7:30 at Mother's Bistro, and enjoy Being There with Peter Sellers.
Yeah, one of Hal Ashby's best.
Part film class, part social get-together, and part full-scale screening. So tell us again how to get more information about Mother's Velvet Lounge.
Well, Mother's Velvet Lounge is actually an annex to Mother's Bistro. It is the bar section. It's at 212 Southwest 2nd. And like I say, the screenings are on the first Wednesday of every month. We try to make them on the first Wednesday of every month. Usually there will be a poster up at the restaurant. And if you want to get on my mailing list, I'd be happy to put you on it. My email address is stickyfilm at gmail.com. And if you want to put in a request to get on the list, I'll keep you apprised of what's happening. I typically screen films at 7:30, at least as the days are a little bit longer. I'm starting them at 7:30. And it's good to get there maybe a half an hour before the screening, just because the seating is fairly limited.
And thank you for joining us, Paul Harrod, the curator of the Mother's Bistro screenings and director at Bent Image Lab.
Well, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And let's go out with a short scene from Being There.
Excuse me. That tree is very thick. It needs care.
Yes, sir. I'll report right away.
Thank you.
Good day, sir.
Good day.
W4. You're listening to Behind the Screen on KBOO, and our theme today is DIY screenings. Coming up, our monthly calendar of independent film events. But first, let's go to a North Portland cafe to check out an event with serious nostalgic overtones.
The Atari video computer system is 20 cartridges with 1,300 game variations you play on your own TV set.
You can't keep me in here, Atari.
Well, my name is Asher Laverty, and the screening that I present, it's called the Saturday Morning Cartoon Extravaganza. We show rare, strange, and just all-around classic Saturday morning cartoons, and funny commercials and weird video clips from throughout the history of television once a month at the Waypost. I've got quite a collection of odd stuff myself that you're probably not going to find, you know, at your usual video store. Cartoons like Fonz and the Happy Days Gang, which is the Happy Days animated series that actually had nothing to do with Happy Days. It just had Fonz, Richie, Ralph, Malph, and Fonz's talking dog, Mr. Cool, voiced by Frank Welker, flying through time with a crazy future girl named Cupcake. And they're trying to get back to 1957 Milwaukee, or something like Laverne and Shirley in the Army animated series, or the Partridge Family in the Future animated series. You know, all these animated series existed, but you know they were pretty amazingly awful, and you're not going to find them around. But I get a lot of my content also from YouTube. I've got a pretty large collection of classic and strange commercials myself, but YouTube is a untapped gold mine of classic TV. This whole Saturday Morning Cartoon Extravaganza kind of came out of a show that I helped create and produce for a couple of years. Actually, this was maybe 6-7 years ago now at Holocene, called The Breakfast of Champions. And myself and my good friend Justin, he had this idea to have a Sunday afternoon dance party where we would show cartoons, do kind of crazy, wacky skits, and then have a dance party in the afternoon. And as that kind of progressed, the skits got more elaborate, the cartoons got more elaborate, and everything just kind of snowballed. We even ended up performing in the TBA Fest 2 years in a row, Time-Based Art Festival, and basically all we did was make fun of all of the weird, snooty performance art acts in the TBA Fest, because, I mean, our currency is basically fart jokes. So we really kind of made fun of all these, you know, pretentious performance art pieces, and they loved it. Sadly, Justin moved away, and I wanted an outlet to show my cartoons. And another friend, Mickey, who helped create the Saturday Morning Cartoon Extravaganza and was also part of Breakfast of Champions, got us connected with the Waypost, and we've been doing a monthly show here ever since. Just to kind of tie things together, each month we pick a theme. Usually we try and tie it into what's happening that month. Like for Thanksgiving, we did a food show. For Valentine's Day, we did a love show. One of my favorites, we did a drugs show, where we showed classic public service announcements. And, you know, in 1986, when you had Pee Wee Herman in a public service announcement telling kids not to smoke crack, I mean, it was serious. But when you show it now, you know, almost 30 years later, it's complete comedy. You can't watch it without cracking up. And also the amazingly awful 1990, I believe, Saturday morning special, Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue, where all of the networks banded together and all of their Saturday morning cartoon characters were in one amazingly crappy half-hour special where all of the bad cliches about young kids getting offered drugs seemed to happen. So we had Bugs Bunny and the Smurfs and Garfield and the Muppet Babies and Alf and all together in one amazingly bad special. What I like to do is I like to try and juxtapose the commercials and the cartoons. So when you see it all at once, you see kind of a sharper picture of what was going on, how ludicrous it is. Like, for instance, when we showed the Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue, you have Bugs Bunny telling kids not to do drugs. I followed that up immediately by showing the classic Looney Tunes episode where Bugs Bunny gets high on ether. My favorite thing about showing these old commercials and old cartoons in this context is that, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago, they were meant for something else. They were serving another purpose. They were trying to sell you something. They were trying to get a point across. They were trying to convince you to purchase a product or do or act a certain way. Showing them now in this context, they've become something completely different. They're comedy. And when you have, you know, American stars shilling Japanese products in the 80s, you know, it's just funny, funny stuff. What was once serious is now completely hilarious. So it's kind of funny to keep things unified. This month, something different. We're doing a tribute to Fleischer Studios, the classic cartoons of Max Fleischer and his brother Dave. They did the classic black and white Popeye cartoons that are some of my favorites of all time. Betty Boop, all the Superman cartoons that are as amazing today as they were, you know, 80 years ago. And they're clearly an influence on animated cartoons that you see today. Usually we go on the third Saturday of the month, which in June would be June 19th. The show is going to be at the Waypost. It'll be a tribute to fathers with classic TV dads, classic cartoon dads like Popeye's Poop Deck Pappy. And the Waypost is 3120 North Williams. They have beer and breakfast and coffee and all kinds of good stuff. Show will start at 1, run about 2 hours, and go until about 3. And it's just a great excuse to come on down in your jammies or whatever you want and pretend you're a kid again and watch some classic Saturday morning cartoons.
And here to bring us news about upcoming Portland area screenings is Jen Chavez.
Cinema Project presents the world premiere of Synesthetic Energies, videos by Makino Takashi, on June 1st and 2nd at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. The Japanese video artist will be in attendance with a live musical score. Visit cinemaproject.org for more info.
The Best of the 36th Northwest Film and Video Festival screens June 3rd and 6th at 7 p.m. at the Witzel Auditorium. This touring program showcases selections from last November's Northwest Film and Video Festival. Visit nwfilm.org/nowshowing for a list of films.
QDoc is presenting the 4th Annual Portland Queer Documentary Film Festival on June 3rd through 6th at the Clinton Street Theater in cooperation with Portland's Q Center. See queerdocfest.org for film schedules and more information.
The first annual Youth Silent Film Festival comes to the Hollywood Theater June 6th through the 9th with an awards screening on June 12th. Live music will accompany these silent short films produced by filmmakers under 20. For more information, visit makesilentfilm.com.
PDXfilm.org, Laughing Planet Cafe, and Music Millennium present a 35mm film presentation of Frank Zappa's 200 Motels, June 12th, 11 p.m. only at Cinema 21. This screening is in conjunction with a concert by Dweezil Zappa at the Roseland. For more information, visit cinema21.com.
Northwest Film Center School of Film is hosting an open house June 10th at 7 p.m. at the Northwest Film Center. This is an opportunity for prospective students to learn more about what the School of Film has to offer. Call 503-221-1156 to reserve a space, or go to nwfilm.org/calendar for more information.
The 6th annual Portland Underground Film Festival runs from June 10th through the 13th at the Clinton Street Theater, featuring hardcore, independent underground films and videos. Opening night after party at the Alto Lounge on Southeast Belmont. Visit clintonsttheater.com/PUFF for a list of films.
On June 3rd at 7 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, it's the world premiere of Gift to Winter, a documentary about the Winter Solstice Puppet Collective. Visit filmactionoregon.org for more info. And that's our calendar for this month. Thanks to Jen Chavez for researching film events, and thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to our DIY screening special. We'll be back next month with an all-new Behind the Screen. So why did you say, and I'll take you straight in the eye.